The year 1888 takes us on our virtual tour to Clonbeg, County Tipperary, the Glen of Aherlow, a wonderfully scenic place where our diocese comes to its extremity and meets the dioceses of Limerick and of Cork. As well as being a very scenic place, there's a certain interesting history anciently attaching to Clonbeg, because it would, in the distant past, have been part of the old Diocese of Emly. And when the Irish dioceses in the Church of Ireland were reconfigured in the 1970s, most of ancient Emly was merged into Limerick, but we retained the little bit around Aherlow, which historically was Emly. So Clonbeg connects us to history. It's a place of great natural beauty. It's a place of consequent, marvellous spiritual atmosphere. And as we pray for it and for its parishioners, we also think of a significant outreach it has to those who come to that particular beauty spot and to places of hospitality and accommodation nearby as visitors and tourists. But our reflections on 1888 take us far away from the rural panorama of Clonbeg to the other end of the country, to the burgeoning industrial city of Belfast. For towards the end of 1888, Belfast, which had rapidly grown in the Industrial Revolution, only at this stage Belfast becomes by charter a city. Previously it had been a town or a borough. It had blossomed in recent decades, particularly through the growth of shipbuilding in terms of its prominence in Ireland, but it had to catch up with the rest of the Irish cities, which had a much longer history. And as Belfast grew in population and prominence, the Church of Ireland decided that it needed a cathedral. Previously, there was, amongst other things, a city or a town centre parish church from the 18th century dedicated to St Anne, and the Church of Ireland decided at the end of the 19th century that Belfast needed a cathedral, and literally it built one in what's now the Cathedral Quarter round the existing 18th century parish church, and only took the parish church down towards the end of the construction of the new cathedral. As I say, the cathedral was ready for worship early in the 20th century, but it wasn't completed for another 100 years till at the beginning of our own century, the steel spire of hope, which is rather controversial on the skyline, was dedicated and completed. St Anne's, although it was appropriate for the Church of Ireland to have a cathedral in a burgeoning city as a centre of its witness, it's also a bit of an anomaly because it belongs to two dioceses. Both the bishops of Down and Connor have chairs in it. And the reason for this was, when St Anne's was built, Down and Connor were a single bishopric. They had ancient cathedrals at Downpatrick and at Connor. But it was decided that another cathedral could be added in Belfast itself within the single bishopric. But then in the 1940s, the Church of Ireland decided to divide up Down and Connor, down the Lagan, using it as a diocesan boundary. And so the city of Belfast became divided in two, diocese-wise, and although St Anne's was just about in Connor, it became a bit of an anomaly because the Bishop of Down wanted to retain an interest in it, and so to this day it is a joint chapter representative of both dioceses, and as I say, both bishops have a chair within it. People might say that although it was sensible to divide up that very large diocese in the 1940s in terms of pastoral care, there's sometimes strategic weakness in dividing a city between two dioceses, in this case dividing it using the river that bisects it, because really anciently cities should be in and be indeed the hub of individual dioceses. Anyway, the cathedral developed, so did the city, so did its industries, so did its social issues. And perhaps it's true to say that attitudes and indeed issues dominant in Belfast came in many ways to dominate and to texture the wider Church of Ireland. And Belfast had a probably interestingly more diverse social profile in terms of its church members there in the Church of Ireland than many other cities, particularly because of the large number of church people involved in construction, shipbuilding and manufacturing. And this became more and more emphatic, especially after the decline, really, speaking in sociological terms, of much of the traditional Dublin Protestant working class during the 20th century. And so it is that the prominence of Belfast and its own internal tensions too remain both a gift and often a missional challenge to the Church of Ireland. But it was in 1888, as recently as that, that Belfast became a city.